States against Carson. Mr. Galloway.
Thank you. It's great to be here. This case has ridiculous facts. It's like a nighttime TV drama. I'm not going to go through them unless you have questions about them. Really, why I'm here today is when I read the officer's testimony at the motion hearing, where the officers all admitted that both the occupants of the hotel room were vomiting all night, and they proceeded to question Carson, even though he was in this situation. I just feel like there is a public policy, a public health question here, whether officers should be able to question people under those circumstances when people are ill. The judge didn't credit Carson's testimony that he'd been snorting heroin all day and drank a bunch of liquor.
An almost impossible amount of liquor. I mean, if he had drunk as much as is described.
Well, the liquor's not so bad. Drink. It was two bottles of liquor, but.
Two bottles of
liquor? I mean, I went to the University of Wisconsin. That's not that much liquor, but. I mean, but the heroin and the cocaine in tandem.
I hope you have a liver left.
But I mean, the heroin and cocaine in tandem since 4 p.m. To me, that's, you know, that's a lot. But
what the district court finds, and this is your problem in all seriousness, is that whatever this man has ingested, nonetheless, at the time the police come, in between vomiting, as I envision this whole scene, he is aware of quite a few things. He's ordered a battery charger for his razor. He thinks about the fact that he's in possession of a gun, and that's going to make his penalty go up. He starts thinking about his eligibility for armed career criminal status. I don't know what people at the University of Wisconsin are thinking about in the middle of the night, but I bet it's not that.
Well, and
so the judge finds all these quite rational thoughts going through this man's mind and draws the inference, well, if he's rational enough to be thinking of that, he's also rational enough to absorb the fact that he's gotten Miranda warnings and he's able to waive those rights if he wants to. Now, nobody's saying this guy's at the top of his game, but you don't have to be. You just have to have enough.
I understand, Your Honor. I don't know what it feels like to do what he did that day. But
I don't see the relevance of that. Surely the test has to be how his state reasonably appears to the police.
I agree. And I think that these police, at bare bones, he at least has the fact that he's vomiting repeatedly all night. And the police are questioning him, I think they said for more than an hour. I don't remember how long they said, but it was a long time. It's not a short conversation.
Does the record reflect how many times he excused himself to go do that or did it anyway?
It doesn't give – I couldn't find a specific number. One officer said several times or many times. Another officer said at least two times, I think. Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of times. It's still a lot of vomit and a lot of
– Why would feeling sick make it impossible for you to understand the Miranda warning?
Being sick alone doesn't make it impossible for you to understand it.
It's not as if you're, you know, unconscious. That would be a problem.
It might be something like being unconscious, though. I was going to answer Judge Wood's question saying, you know, the fact that he's talking and the fact that he is saying accurate things doesn't mean that he's aware of what he's saying. And it doesn't mean...
You had some evidence that he blacked out.
This is automatic speaking? What? He's not conscious.
I have a friend whose mother sleepwalks, and she'll have a whole conversation with you for 10 minutes, and she'll just be a tiny bit off.
Yes, I know. But if someone is sleepwalking and the police gives the person Miranda warnings without awareness that the person is sleepwalking, there'd be no problem. Right?
Well,
it's just what it appears to the police.
Why would
the police think that a person who's has an upset stomach is speaking without consciousness.
These police, they knew what upset his stomach. They knew, they saw that there was cocaine and heroin in the room. Both he and his companion.
Are you saying people who are high on cocaine can't be given Miranda warnings?
What I'm saying is people who have overdosed.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying people who have overdosed on heroin. That's the rule I want. I want the rule that people who have overdosed on heroin and need medical attention should not be
Miranda. Does it also mean that they have to be acquitted of the crimes they commit because they can't have the mental state required to commit the crimes?
Well, he wasn't high when he did the crime.
Now, suppose someone is drunk when he commits a crime.
Okay.
Is it your position that he therefore has to be acquitted because he can't have possessed the mental state?
No, that would be an awful rule.
I should think whether he possessed the mental state is a question of fact, which would be submitted to the jury or the judge.
Yeah.
Well, here, whether he had the mental state necessary to make a voluntary decision, also a question of fact, was submitted to the judge and resolved adversely. What makes you think that decision is clearly erroneous?
Well, there have been talks about clearly erroneous standard here today, and I was reflecting on that, and I don't really know what that means. I'm not really sure how that's different from a different error. I mean, I went to law school. I've been practicing for a number of years. I still don't know what the words mean precisely, but to me, when I think of a judge looking at these facts, this man, everybody agrees he's vomiting all night, and the cops,
I can tell you what some judges of this court make of that standard. It is one accepts what the district court has done, unless when you read the record, you break out into loud guffaws.
Well, when
and
I
wonder
read,
how any sane person could have reached that conclusion.
When I read this record, I laughed aloud many times.
These briefs.
I didn't laugh out loud at that point, but I did cringe when I thought of officers continuing to question him while he is vomiting. I mean, that is a standout red light. And so, if that's like what the clearly erroneous standard is, then maybe we're somewhere close.
But that's an argument you make to the district judge. The district judge says, "Well, it's true he was drunk and he was vomiting." He also showed the following signs of rational comprehension. So I conclude that he could make an intelligent decision. Now, given the district court's concrete findings about his ability to engage in rational cognition with respect to some things, why is the district judge clearly erroneous? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I'm not sure if I can give you a better answer than I just gave you, and I don't want to repeat it to you. I mean, that would be disrespectful. But I mean, I guess I can tell you that when I read this, it seemed outrageous, and the decision by the judge seemed outrageous. But that's all I can give you. I mean, you told me a guffaw. I can't give you a guffaw, but I can give you something like a guffaw. I can give you a yuck. And to me, that's the closest I can get to this standard. It's a little diffuse to me when I read that standard, but that's as close as I can get.
By the way, was Justice Holmes not rational when he said his standard for unconstitutionality was whether the law made him want to puke? And therefore, one would think if he were doing that, he would have disabled himself from making the decision.
Maybe only
one.
Right.
Just gag. Well, unless there are any more questions, I don't really have anything more.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Heller.
Your Honors, good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Gail Hellert, and I have represented the government throughout this entire case. For the first argument, there was probable cause to serve the search warrant. The informant's tip included at least 9 pieces of information, which were corroborated by outside and independent sources to the degree that they could be.
Ms. Hellert, could I just jump ahead then to the other point that your
Yes.
opponent focused on? According to Mr. Carson, I guess, and I'm looking actually at the blue brief on page 8, he was a blackout most of the night. And so it makes me wonder, whatever apparent show of giving Miranda warnings and getting waivers that was going on, maybe this is like the person who was sleepwalking. You know, the wheel is turning, but the hamster's gone. You know, there's no, at least as we learn and as the district court learned, because of the intoxication from all sorts of substances, there was only the appearance of a waiver, not a real waiver.
The district court listened to all the testimony and listened to the fact that upon entering the room, Sergeant Wildauer read Mr. Carson his Miranda rights.
Oh, I understand all of that. That's focusing on what's in the room. But it's a well-established fact that alcoholics can have a blackout, can have no memory of what went on later. I mean, these are severely, you know, impaired people who have a severe case of alcoholism, and again, I'm, you know, in whatever else ism, you know. But does the district court take into account the blackout testimony at all?
The district court chose to not credit Mr. Carson's testimony, which was, I will say, kind of over the top in his consumption of his alcohol and drugs. What was the fact?
So does the district court ever say, I don't believe that you experienced blackout?
The district court does not ever say, I think you experienced a blackout. No, the district court does not say that, but implicit in its findings of the objective facts in the room, chose to discredit Mr. Carson's testimony in these ways. There was a large bottle of vodka in the room, very large.
Doesn't the officer say it's the biggest bottle of vodka he's ever seen?
Biggest bottle he had ever seen. And they looked at the bottle, and the cap was cracked on it, but very little of the contents were gone. There was cocaine in the room. There was some marijuana and heroin in the room. But the testimony about
Mr.
Carson...
As well as a swimming pool, as I understand.
Correct.
An actual swimming pool or a jacuzzi?
No, these are the Sybaris Hotel hotel rooms are $500 or so a night, and they all have swimming pools in the room. So the upgrade is that the swimming pool will sit right next to the bed. That's the upgrade in the Sybaris Hotel. But those are the only pools in Indianapolis that have pools in the room, not just a pool as part of the hotel. But that was part of Sergeant Wildauer's knowledge as far as hotels in Indianapolis. So even though Tracy Carson said...
The only hotel in Indianapolis that has this, I think probably the only hotel in a much larger region.
Well, as you know, the Seventh Circuit is about to have its judicial conference in Indianapolis.
We would, not at that hotel.
Yes, we would likely recommend that not be the place. So the objective facts really did not match Mr. Carson's self-serving testimony. Yes, there were drugs in the room. Yes, there was this large bottle of vodka. But Mr. Carson stood during the entire course of the interview.
When he wasn't throwing up. I mean, the officers are testifying that he's sick.
Mr. Galloway characterized it as throwing up all night. During the time that Agent Jensen spoke with him, he went to the bathroom two times to vomit. He noticed that he walked normally to go to the bathroom because he watched that. They stood during the interview. Mr. Carson had many, many rational thoughts, including what he had thought when the officers first entered the room. And he chose answering the questions that would get himself in trouble, but chose not to answer questions that would get others in trouble, such as where he got the gun, where he got the stolen vehicle, and things that would be trade secrets of bank robberies. He seemed pretty proud of the fact of his bank robbery exploits, and so he wouldn't reveal those secrets. So all that together and all those circumstances together led Judge McKinney to conclude that despite this testimony that Mr. Carson had given regarding his kind of over-the-top intoxication, that just wasn't credible. Mr. Carson, for example, said, I was so drunk I would have talked about anything. Judge McKinney specifically said, I know you said that, including murder, you would have talked about that, but you didn't. You really just talked about the robberies, and you gave accurate information as to the robberies. In fact, it was information that the officers could go back and corroborate that those were incidents that had really occurred. So we think that all that together counsels for the fact that Judge McKinney did discredit Tracy Carson's testimony and that he did credit the officers and that there was a finding that this was a voluntary and knowing waiver of Miranda. Since that was the only argument addressed, I can address the other two arguments. There was probable cause for the search warrant. The informant's tip included several pieces of information which were corroborated to the degree that they could be. And under the totality of circumstances test, the court correctly found that all of this together supported probable cause. And as to issue number two, this was not reckless omission to fail to put this kind of double hearsay piece into it because of all the corroboration that the officers did. They were working with very quick urgency and immediacy. They knew what makes sense to all of us, that is that bank robbers' clothing and their guns and their money can all disappear very quickly. And so between the time they got the information at 11:15 p.m. and actually got the warrant signed at 3:34 a.m., they had corroborated many, many pieces of information that led to about 10 facts easily presented to the court at 3:34 a.m. So they acted very efficiently and responsibly, and so we believe there was no material omissions. We ask this court to affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Galloway? Well, Mr. Galloway, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment, and you have the court's thanks.